It's a good battle we're fighting, isn't it? It may look like that we'll lose a battle every now and then, but we've already won the war. I promise you that. Amen. While you're standing, let's look at our prayer requests tonight. Sister Jan Winter, she says she wants to thank everyone for all their prayers, the Christmas cards, the birthday, the get well prayers that was sent up on her behalf. They were so encouraging to her, and she wants to say thank you from the bottom of her heart. She appreciates it. Sister Bonnie Butt sends this in. She sent in a prayer request last week. The plate had a test done, and the test results came back. The doctor says it is not cancerous, but they do want to do another test just to make sure. Please keep me in your prayer. So we just commit her unto the Lord tonight. Thank God for that good report, and just believe the Lord for another good report. Sister King says that her niece in Phoenix request prayer to help her find a suitable place to rent. Also, Sister King has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Please continue to pray for Brother Tracy. We want to remember him in prayer tonight. Had gallbladder surgery, I believe, this past Monday. So let's pray for our brother. Brother Barry English, blood sugar way up, hates to miss the service, but unable to be here tonight. He's asking that we would remember him in prayer. Want to pray for Angela Boyd. my niece in Arizona, she is in the hospital with pneumonia. Brother George Hamlin sends that in, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Sandy Baggett has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Please continue to remember Sister Natalie in prayer. She has had to have surgery and other complications have come up. Also remember her family. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Natalie Yance, that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. We believe he's more than able to meet her need, don't we? Amen. Brother Jerry Glenn wants to praise the Lord. All of his test results came back. No sign of cancer. He wants to thank the Lord for that. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Brother Jerry. I want to pray for Carolyn Nidifer. She has a broken hip. She's in the Johnson City Hospital, 80 years old. Also pray for a David Goble. He has multiple life-threatening injuries. Also in the hospital, pray for Randall Strum. He is to have a kidney transplant at the UT Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee. They're asking that we would remember those folks in prayer. Want to remember Chloe Oliver and Josh Dixon. They are all sick. Thank you for your prayers. We just commit them unto the Lord. Sister Ruth Jack sends this in to please remember Pat and Mark, a faithful Christian couple in Murphy, North Carolina. Also, she says she has a dear friend who is very desperate for help. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. The Lord certainly knows all about the needs. I want to pray for Sister Shirley. She still has a bad cough and congestion. Brother Mike Pierce, the doctors are just amazed at how his blood pressure is closer to being perfect than he has ever seen it. That's what the doctors are saying. And he says that his eyesight is also returning. So somebody praise the Lord for that brother right there. God bless our brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Urgent prayer request for Chris Turner. His family has family issues and spiritual needs. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Susan Olive asked for prayer for back pain that she has been suffering for about 6 weeks. So we'll just commit her to the Lord. Also tonight we want to pray for Mandy Binkley. She has shingles. Let's pray for her recovery. Doug and Evelyn Jenkins asked for our church to remember them in prayer. They lost a son very suddenly this week. So let's remember those folks as we pray. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please remember Brother Eugene Kennedy in prayer. The doctors have found a lesion, a mass on his thyroid. He will have an ultrasound done on Tuesday and a possible biopsy. So let's just commit that unto the Lord, that God would be mindful of our brother and that family as we pray tonight. Well, just got a lot of requests here tonight, don't we? But I know one thing. My God is greater than all these needs. He's bigger than any problem that we have. Can somebody say amen? Amen. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, Brother Daniel Nunley, would you come tonight if you would take us to the Lord on behalf of these needs? Let's invite his presence into this service. Certainly want to remember Sister Ruth Dean's family in prayer as she was laid to rest today, that the Lord would just be with them during this time and comfort their hearts. Appreciate Brother Daniel, don't we? Brother Daniel, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Amen. I was just thinking as I was standing back there and he was in Nottingham in 59 that I gave my heart to God. I was only about 17 years old. And you know what? It gets sweeter every day. I wouldn't trade this experience that I have in my heart for anything that the world has to offer me today. Amen. Let's pray for these needs. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in this service tonight, to feel your presence and to know, Lord, that you are with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you because you love us so much that when we was lost, God, that you reached down your hand, pick us up out of the miry clay. God, that you set our feet upon a solid rock. Heavenly Father, we just love you tonight. Now, God, we bring these petitions, these requests before your throne. Each one of them, God, is so important. God, I know that I could never remember all of them, but God, I know that you know each one of them. God, we pray right now that you'll move for these needs, wherever they may be in this congregation, over the internet, in our fellowship hall. God, we know that your hands are not too short. Now, God, we pray that you'll take this service tonight. God, that you'll just get everything out of the way that's not of you. Oh, God, that you'll just bless and move upon the people. God, there be one that's lost before it's too late. May tonight be their night. God, we love you and we appreciate you. Bless the service. Anoint the servant, God. Put your hand up on them, God, and just use them tonight in a special way. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Those that would be streaming, may God richly bless them. Isn't it a privilege to be in the house of God tonight? Why don't you shake somebody's hand real quick, tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Amen. Play a little bit of that song, brethren, Precious Jesus, just before we sing it tonight. Let's sing about it now, church. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon, there's peace and triumph when you speak His name.
When you speak His name. Jesus understands me when I'm blue, but he just smiles and loves a happy melody. Paul's a liberated soul can,
hallelujah,
sing about being bound for love without looking back and realizing he's been set us
be the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You better sing that chorus one more time.
Yes, sir.
You've got them stirred up out here.
Precious.
Say it to him. You believe he's precious.
Jesus.
Let him know about it tonight.
You're the sweet rose of Sharon. I know there's peace in trial.
Yes, there is.
When we speak your
shining every day. Oh, if you love him, give him a big hand clap of praise. He is worthy tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus just before we change the service tonight. For he is holy. Aren't you glad you're serving a holy God? You know, the world, everything that's wrong, Brother Terry, as we see wrong, it's right to them. And everything that's right to us is wrong to them. Any way, any facet, any loophole they can get to take God out of any and everything they can, that's what they want to do. But I'm glad I want more of him every day that I live. Aren't you glad that he's put something in your heart that you want more of him? More of him. You'll never get enough of him. For he is Jesus is
Yes, you are Lord. Holy.
Hallelujah. I wonder tonight, can you lift your hands to Him? Sing it to Him one more time. Oh, yes, He's.
Bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Jackie Benton's going to come give us a song. If you don't have anything else, Brother Jackie, we'd just soon hear you sing "I Claim the Blood" as about anything you sing. We like to hear our brother sing, don't we? Appreciate Brother Jackie. I hope I can keep his zeal the rest of my days. God bless you, buddy. Love you. Appreciate you.
I have a source of strength when I am weak. It helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love.
Amen.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for. For all my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through. Never go to Calvary as I do, for there's a healing cleansing stream still flow with the peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood. Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were laid there just for me. Amen. For all my sickness and my shame. When I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. Sing it with me now. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. When I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. Hallelujah.
Thank God for the power of the blood tonight.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read down through verses 5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Luke 15:24. For this is Donnie. He was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And Donnie ain't never got over it since. What about you? Brother Ben said he'd been drunk every day of his life since he got the Holy Ghost. And if you ain't drunk, it's your own fault. You're either drunk on the Holy Ghost or drunk on the things of the world. So it's up to you which brand you want to drink. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we so appreciate your quickening, Lord Jesus. We thank you that it did not just happen one time, but it is constantly ongoing to the elect, the quickening of God. Take your word tonight, Lord, and speak to our hearts, I pray. May we receive of eternal quality out of this service tonight, dear God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight on a very simple little thought. I must quicken my seed. I must quicken my seed. Since looking last Saturday night, actually last week, and then preaching on it last Saturday night out of Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 there on the Ruach Elohim, I've not been able to get away from those words and from looking at the impact of what it was then and the ongoing effect of it still today. And I thought that I was done with it. Brother Joel Brown had sent me something, and I got to looking at it again and got to studying some more scriptures on it, and it was just like that I could not get away from it to save my life. It was like there was something else there that the Lord wanted me to see about it, and I believe you to see, I've learned enough about God to know that whenever the Spirit of God leads you in a direction, that you should follow Him, because He knows exactly what you need. And I'm grateful that we have a Father that gives us such direction in our life, to where that He can lead us by the Holy Ghost, aren't you?
Amen.
Now, whenever we think of God in the great eternal, our Western view of God, our Western civilization, has certainly framed much of what we perceive about God and the way we think of Him. To an Easterner, one who would read this Bible, they would have a total different view of the concept of God, of God's ways, than we would, because of the way that we've read it over the years, the way that tradition has handed it down to us, and sometimes it takes a long time for us to be able to break away from that influence. But by the help of the Lord, may He be able to enlighten us tonight, that we can let go of a little bit more of that. Now, whenever we think of His greatness and all that He wanted to become, yet, you know, whenever we think about deep things and mysteries and all of that, I don't really like to hear sermons that are so complex and so complicated that once you get done, you're more confused than you was before the guy started. But I like to be able to hear something that helps you once you're finished. And not that God cannot be profound and the Word of God cannot be things that are so overwhelming that you just sit there and it takes you a while to comprehend it. But yet, whenever it's done, God hides Himself in simplicity and reveals Himself in the same. I'd like for us to read this again, if you would, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. If you look with me at the meaning of this word, it is wind, breath, spirit imparting warlike energy and executive and administrative power, energy of life, ancient angel, and later Shekinah. Now, once you notice this, what moves? The Spirit of God. It's not God in the person of Elohim. And of course, the word here that Moses was inspired to use describing God is the word Elohim. Elohim is the Hebrew word, which is one of the words which defines the deity of the Mighty One. And this particular one is plural. Now, this is where, of course, that many of the Trinitarians, when they look at the word Elohim and they look at the original Hebrew form of it and see that it is plural, they think there's more than one God. But of course, we know there isn't more than one God. But whenever Moses got ready to describe this great creative act from deity itself, he was led by the Spirit of God to use this compound word that described the power of creation, which would unfold upon what God was doing. Ruach Elohim. Now, if you'll read with me on this, I found this, I thought it would be beneficial for you. The breathing, blowing, surging phenomenon is neither natural wind nor spiritual spirit, but both in one. It is the creative breathing that brings both nature and spirit into one being. Now, once you notice now what God is doing here as He is breathing upon the earth, Ruach Elohim could be best understood as the presence of God that is now moving upon the earth in a very unique way and expressing Himself as Creator Parent. Now watch how He describes Himself. Anytime that God uses a compound, two compound words to define Himself, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Tiskanu, it is a compound describing of the one true God. But yet it's like one descriptive name is not enough. So He would use Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Manasseh. So here, instead of using Jehovah, which is Adonai, He uses this one precedes Adonai, and it is Ruach Elohim. So in the beginning, the Ruach Elohim hovered over the waters, or the waters of creation. Now, these waters, as we looked at it last Saturday night, were a dark, dismal type of a situation that was on the earth. But yet it was more than that. It was a very great symbol of what God is going to do in creations that will follow thereafter in a very similar type. So it would determine the waters of creation. So Ruach Elohim moves upon these waters of creation. And if you notice that Moses does not say that God moved upon the waters, or capital L-O-R-D, which is Adonai, but he says Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of Elohim. Now, he does not land upon the waters or land upon the earth. He does not rest upon them. He does not come down and rest upon them, but he simply hovers over them and begins to perform this great power of creation and unfold into them what his plan is. But he doesn't rest upon them. He does not rest upon the earth. So this is a step of this unfolding of God. It is actually a process. When you see Ruach Elohim, it is a process of something he is doing. Now, Jehovah Jireh was the Lord will provide a sacrifice. So it is unique within itself in that God did it right there. But Ruach Elohim is not something that is just done. Bam! There it is. And it's gone. But it is a process of something that is unfolding. Oh, glory. Amen. It may be in the initial stages, and years may pass before the rest of it unfolds, and then the rest of it, and then the rest of it. But it is his way of describing his own nature and what he's fixing to do. Now, watch this. Let's read, if you would, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. Now, the Spirit of God does not land upon the waters. He does not land upon the earth. But the first step in bringing this new creation upon the earth is the earth itself must be immersed in water. Now watch. Ruach Elohim allows the condition of the earth in the first step of creation to be immersed in water. And then he moves upon the earth in a very great way. Watch this. In Exodus 19:4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, Brother Bram tells us those eagle wings there, of course, were the prophet Moses' ministry. But it was the mighty God using Moses' ministry, but God acted as if though it was himself. Notice how he says it. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bear you out on eagle's wings. So in the above verse then, we can see how that we would take the wings in comparison from this, and then go back to the very beginning, how that those wings are an unfolding of something that God has in his mind. So the eagle's wings by which brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt was the beginning of a process which would take many, many years to unfold before they would come to their inheritance. Now let me just remind you, friend, that as we think about where we are right now and the Word of God unfolding the way that it is in our lives, but yet you look around and you see so much trouble. You see many folks fighting battles that they've never fought before. Your homes, your families, your bodies, everything in the world is going on. But remember, the earth itself was a type of you. Now look at the earth. When Ruach Elohim is moving upon the earth was in utter chaos. It was in darkness. It was in gloom, dismal, bad situations. So look at yourself. It's Ruach Elohim is brooding over your life. Don't expect every day to be, everything's going to be exactly the way you think it ought to be. There may be gloomy days, there may be sad days, you may have bad doctor's reports, you may have all kinds of bad reports, but remember, Ruach Elohim is still created. And he's still hovering. Just because he is near does not mean all the darkness absolutely goes away immediately. It may take a long time and a process, but if it's in his mind, there is absolutely nothing that will stop him. Now, look at this again in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. Now, in this above verse that we just read in Exodus chapter 19, 4, if you notice, it's compared with the eagle who would softly beat her wings and hover over the nest to quicken it. Now watch how God likens the administration by which he chose to deliver the children of Israel. He would liken it to an eagle. Now what the eagle would do and the fashion, the way the eagle would come to her young is the way God likened himself. Notice this again in Deuteronomy 32:11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. Notice this word stirreth, to rouse oneself, awake, oh my, awake, awaken in sight to act in an aroused manner. My, sounds like stimulation by revelation to me. As an eagle stir us up, not herself now. The eagle is not awakening herself. She is awakening the inhabitants of her nest. Now look at what Ruach Elohim is doing upon the earth. It's as if though this whole thing is his nest. And out of his nest, he comes in and lands in the nest. And goes to fluttering his great big wings that all creation can look at how great he is. Oh, hallelujah. As he comes and as an eagle stir us up. But did you ever notice the scripture? It's in the feminish form. He didn't say as an eagle stirs his nest. But as an eagle stirs her nest. And fluttereth over her young. Glory. Fluttereth to grow soft. Relax. To have her. The exact same word in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. So Ruach Elohim likens himself to a mother eagle. Now y'all don't have no problem accepting that he likens himself to an eagle, do you? Or you're going to have your problem as the gender he chose. I don't expect you to shout right off, but I do expect you to after it hits you. Now, you know, the eagle is so great and so powerful that the eagle is merciful to her young. So, and she will leave and come back to the nest. And her young are asleep. She will not come in directly and frighten her young. But she will announce her coming. She will scream. Or she will actually come by and hit the limb on which the nest, hallelujah, on which the nest has been built. Or she will pass by the nest and touch the nest so that the young will be quickened from the dead. So that her young will be awakened and aroused. She don't want to scare them to death, but she does want them to get up. Mama's on her way, and here she comes with a shout and a voice of the resurrection in order to arouse her young. Glory. Thank you, Lord. What for? To awaken them that they may be able to receive her. As the eagle stirs up her nest. Notice what Ruach Elohim was doing on the creation of the earth now. The waters, the seeds, the plants, the trees. He's stirring up his nest. And it's as if though all of this is coming from his nest. And fluttereth over her young. And spreadeth abroad her wings. And taketh them and beareth them on her wings. Look at verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, Israel. And there was no strange God with him. You mean God likened himself to a mother eagle? I'm going to shock you. God is our mother. Some of y'all thought I've been crazy for a long time. Now you're totally convinced. Now, as I said, because of our Western influence, it's very difficult for us to be able to comprehend such. But you just bear with me a little bit and we'll be able to see. This motherly image in Elohim. As the entire creation flew out of his nest as it was. Then the Bible doesn't say that the trees, the animals, the botany life, animal life, none of it bore the image or the reflection of the Creator except for one species. And that was the man.
Amen.
And the image and the likeness of Elohim was reflected in the man. Watch, Jesus in Luke chapter 13 verse 34 said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often will I gather thy children together? Jesus would have gathered as a hen and not a rooster. Don't you understand, friend, the compassion, the feeling that bride members should have one toward another? Don't you understand where that comes from? It comes from that part of God which is the motherly, loving, caring over the body part. But if you don't have that, you better begin to check yourself. Now notice here, my, you know, because we take certain quotes and set God in a certain way, but I wonder, have we not limited the manifestation of who He is and how great that He is? Notice this now in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 as He's now moved up and He's moved past botany life and animal life and all. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. And this is His image. Lord have mercy, God. Male and female. Do you believe Adam was made in the image of God? How could he have been made in the image of God, him being male and female, unless... So what do you got in your mind? This is the image of God, and this is made like it? Is this the image of this? Is this the image of this? Is this the image of this? So if you're looking at something, and you make something off of that image, and then you note that that creation has a dual nature. That it's masculine and feminine, and you just got through telling us that it's made from His image. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. Now them ain't but one. But them sounds like two, but them two is one. Glory! And God blessed them, and God said unto them, and there's only one of them standing there. Yet God said to them, and you all, and you all, and you all. When we say you all, we look at more than one. But when God looked at that you all, it was one. Because He saw Himself in that you all. I hope y'all seeing you all in the you all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can't you see why the bride is different than the church? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, everything that moveth upon the earth. Chapter 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him. Male and female created He them. And blessed them and called their name Adam. Not their names. Eve never had a separate name till she committed adultery. Woo! Glory! Come on, church! But God called their name Adam.
So if the name of the bridegroom is Jesus, what will the name of the bride be? Miss Jesus Christ, of course. So watch him as he enters into this reflective, creative life. And he called their name Adam in the day that they were created. You see, a part of Eve was actually created in that day. Not her body. Her body's a byproduct. But her spirit was original. Oh, glory. My body, your body is a byproduct. But if we're part of him, our spirit is original. In the day that we were created. Notice this, and why we're not a denomination. The Holy Ghost and God is the same, self-same purpose, same person rather. He said, pardon me. I just say he throwed his wings around the earth and he began brooding. What's that brooding? Like the hen to her chickens. So you mean part of the creative act of Ruach, Elohim, is in feminish gender. Y'all actually taking this better than I thought you would. You're doing good. You're really doing good. Now notice, like the hen to her chickens, cooing, making love, cluck, cluck, cluck. Oh life, come forth. He screamed. He screamed, but he was doing it like a hen. Glory. Can you see, friends? It's the attributes of his spirit. Adam was both masculine and feminist in his spirit, not in his body now. Lord Jesus. Oh life, come forth, he screamed. He looked around. I want beauty on this earth. Come forth, light. The Holy Ghost is moving. And what he did, I look coming. And there's creaking down the hill yonder. Yonder comes some calcium pouring down. Amen. Hallelujah. And mixes with potash. What's it folding into? Life. And a little Easter flower stuck its head up out from under a rock. Come here, Father. Look at that. That looks good. Keep on brooding. Now notice as Ruach Elohim moves, it is not an instantaneous thing. He chooses to reveal himself in a process. Really, the work that he completes in us is short compared to here. It might have been millions of years before the earth got in its Eden beauty. Thank God it don't take that long for us. My goodness, we think 50, 60, 70 years, boy, it's a long time. Not really when you look at eternity. It's not a very long time at all. To us, it might be a long time. But when you're looking at Ruach Elohim and how long he took there, man, it's quicker than that. Your whole lifespan passes faster than a snap of his fingers. He brought out all the vegetation, brought up the animal life, the birds flew out of the dust. After a while, up come a man, a woman, up come a man. And the man was both man and woman. Now look at this word that he says. Not know hermaphrodite. I wasn't even sure what that was till I looked it up. Since I'm a college graduate, you understand. Not know hermaphrodite. Now, let me read to you, those of you that don't know, like me, what that was. In biology, a hermaphrodite is an organism that has reproductive organs, normally associated with both male and female sexes. Right. Now, there's certain snails, certain plants, certain different things like that, that are called this because they have the ability, asexual they call it, where they can actually reproduce without a mate because they are their mate. Right. So they have a capability of doing it. But Adam was not that way. Adam did not have male and female organs. He had male and female spirit. Glory! Adam could not reproduce by himself, but he did have that feminine spirit. Why? He was made in the image of Elohim.
Lord Jesus. Notice this in the adoption part two. When he made his first man, when he made his angelic beings and he made man, he created them male and female, all in the same spirit. He was both man and woman. Feminine and masculine. Again, souls that are imprisoned. Then the first man was made. He was a spirit man in the image of God. Paragraph 41. Then he taken from his side a byproduct, a rib. And from that separated this man, which had a dual nature. So if this man is made on the earth in the image of God, and this man had a dual nature. A nature which was on the feminist side, the love side, the tender side, the genteel side. And he's made in the image of God. Which was both feminist and masculine. And he'd taken the feminist out because it was love. And placed it in a person called Eve, that Adam called Eve, which was his wife. That's where his love, natural, filial love, held to his wife. That's the way a man should be today. And her back to her husband. The man, the masculine, the woman, the feminist. So here he's made in the image of God. So, but before there was a man, Elohim had this image in himself. Notice in visible union, the man didn't have a wife. The wife and the man was the same thing. Y'all should have shouted your shoe heels off and tore the benches up and hung on the chandeliers. Because that wasn't just Adam I read about, that's you and God. You and God was the same thing from the same place. He had the feminist and masculine spirit in himself. So if God ever wanted a bride, not a church, but a bride who would be like Adam's bride, where would she ever get her spirit? Watch this in the rising of the sun. As he being the groom, the bride has to come forth because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation, the fulfilling of all the revelations any others has spoke of the bride. It can only manifest. And if it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. As man and woman are one. We've listened to this and we've quoted it for years, but I wonder if we've ever heard it. Man and woman are one, and man was taken from his side. She had taken a spirit. Read it. The feminist spirit. The flesh from his side made both mechanics and dynamics. The wife, the spirit of him, the flesh of him, put it together. Mechanics and dynamics. You see, the bride, friends, is not people that comply just to a certain dress code. It's not people who, you know, go to a certain church and say certain cliches and certain words, and that sets them apart from everybody else on the earth. But they actually have an identity back to Elohim himself. And when he gives them of his own spirit and nature, it makes them separate from the foolish virgin. It makes them separate from the church world. They are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, spirit of his spirit, life of his life, power of his power. She is him. So she receives what? That feminine spirit. When God separated Adam, he was both. We find that Adam a spirit to begin with. He made man in his own image. Notice how Brother Branham links this now. He made man in his own image. created he male and female.
Right.
Some of y'all still look at me like I got egg on my face, but that ain't so, because I hate eggs. I'm reading this to you from the Message of the Hour. Get that old chicken thinking out of your head. Don't you understand where you come from? Don't you understand why this is so? You said, what's this got to do with me? Absolutely everything. Then before you was ever a mortal, before you was ever a creature of time, you were back there in Ruach Elohim. In Genesis 2 and on, he created man out of the dust of the earth. Man was created in God's image, and God is a spirit. So he's a spirit man. Then even when he become flesh man, animal flesh of the earth, he's showing, portraying here the bride. He never taken and made another being. He took part of Adam, the original creation. Notice when he divided that spirit, it was original creation. The only thing hybrid about Eve was her body. Don't you see what he's doing? He's writing the story of redemption in the very way he expressed Eve in the very beginning. Showing that you going to God, hallelujah, though your body would be a byproduct, your spirit come from Adam. Not the first Adam, the second man Adam. He's showing, portraying here the bride. He never taken and made another being. He took part of Adam, the original creation, took from him a rib from his side and took the feminine spirit out of Adam and left the masculine spirit in there and placed it in the feminine part. Wonder why all through the Old Testament God had images and the types of the sacrifices reflected by females. Wonder why the waters of separation was made from a red heifer and not a red bull. Why wouldn't you take a red bull and kill the bull and sprinkle his ashes? Why is it her? Why is it when you take the dove and you kill the dead mate, the mate rather, and sprinkle his blood on his female and turn her loose? And as she flaps her wings, she's spreading forth the blood of her mate, saying, I can live because he died. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why is it in the tabernacle? When Moses was given divine instruction by the presence of God, and he went to make the tabernacle, and he made the curtains on the long, on the length of it, so that they would be extra long and would wrap around the backside of the tabernacle. And the Hebrew word that was used to describe it was a part of the female's body.
Come on.
Why would he have Ruth identified with part of the kinsman redeemer? Why Esther? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It was not Mordecai that was the Savior. It was Esther. Why is he at a road all down through there? Because it was part of himself that was being let out in the types, waiting for one day when the new birth would come and Ruach Elohim could breathe on the day of Pentecost and finally share that life with individuals. Can you imagine having this locked within yourself for millions? And millions of years.
Amen.
And it's like you're about to explode. And you start letting Moses write about a female this and a female that. And a turtle dove and a female something like that. And in our Western minds we're thinking, what in the world's that got to do with it? Why in the world would Jesus say a hen, not a rooster?
Right.
Because the rooster ain't the only thing. Hold on. God not only had a masculine, great, divine power, but he had in his being feminine.
God ain't no sissy now. I know it's hard for you because of the homosexual deal and all that. And just to get that out of your mind. That ain't even the same thing. That ain't even in the same world I'm talking about. God didn't go around with his hand hanging down like, yeah, 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 yeah. Come on! You imagine Adam there in the Garden of Eden? Oh, man! Adam didn't go around, oh, excuse me, excuse me. You run into some of them dudes out in restaurants, can I take your order, please? I think, oh, dear God. Would you please deliver my food with rubber gloves on? Lord, you better pray over your food. You never know who's handling it. Oh, glory. I ain't talking about that, friend. That's somebody that needs help bad. But can you imagine Adam standing there being, oh, man, masculine, burly. Yet as he would stoop down in a pool of water and see his reflection and reach down maybe to touch it. And the ripples would go out from it. Why do I feel the way I feel? I should be, and I am. I'm so happy. But somehow I feel alone. I don't understand why I should. Father comes down every day and we fellowship and we talk. And why do I feel this way? Why is it I feel like I need something? Oh, glory. And God looked at him and said, everything that God made up to this time, he said, it was good. And it was good. But God looked at the man and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. God is not only describing the man, he's describing himself. It's not good for me to be alone. I've been alone for millions of years. Brother Ben said God dwelt alone with cherubims. How's that possible? I thought alone meant there's nobody around you. I guarantee you one thing. You get the real meaning of alone. You can be in a whole crowd of people and still be alone. You go to the mall, you can be alone. You go to the shopping places, you can be alone. And there was God with myriads of angels around him. But there was no one like him. So he was longing for someone of his own character and of his own quality. Adam didn't. And then he put a Charles Atlas on one side and a Charlene on the other. But God embedded that thing in him. And it needed to be released. And God foreshadowed in his first son. If the devil had been very smart at all, excuse me, you're about as dumb as I don't know what. You know it. There you was around the Garden of Eden and saw him do this, didn't you, smarty pants? He pulled a wool plum over your eyes. He wore you out, didn't he? Yeah, he wore you out. And then when he come down on the earth, you thought you was doing something when you took him out to the cross. You didn't know what you was doing, did you, dummy? You didn't know that blood running down that body was going to set me free. You didn't know what you done there. Hallelujah. And you let him right up there yourself, you devil. So he takes the feminine spirit out of Adam, left the masculine spirit in there and placed it in the feminine part. Therefore, part of his spirit, part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word, life of his life. That's the way the bride is to Christ. Everybody hold on now. Thirst, 1965. Jerusalem, the word Jerusalem is from above. The Bible said it's the mother of us all, and Christ is our mother. We realize that God is our mother. So see, now you got to take back that thought you thought about me a while ago that I was nuts. You might say I'm nuts, but you won't say he was. Now what? watch, what is Brother Branham bringing to us? That we are born from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is from above. Nobody said, talking about in the future home, it is the mother of my heart. So if God is our mother, hallelujah, then where does that something come from? The attributes of the bride? Out of him. With that being said, let's read Genesis 1:1 again. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven. And there, notice now, not compound. Masculine form creates, but feminine broods. Lord God. In the beginning, not Ruach Elohim created, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void and darkness. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, notice the emphasis in this verse, changes from Elohim to Ruach. It is not Elohim who is hovering over, but the Ruach of Elohim. So now the motherly instinct after the masculine gender has created. Lord God, hallelujah! The motherly instinct as the ego, she spreads. So verse 2, we can say it like this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Ruach of Elohim fluttered over the face of the earth. Now using these verses that we just read up here and showed you that there is this attribute that comes out of God to display in this way. The creation needed this attribute in order to hover it in. What does she do? She does not come right on it and scare him, but she flutters. She flutters. And when she finds the earth, she finds it in this immersed state. So the first state of the new creation is immersion. Let me read this to you. Mikvah. Baptism did not originate with Christians. The Jews baptized before Jesus ever died. I'm sorry you didn't know that was the truth. It was a ritual for the Jews for hundreds of years. Baptism, immersion, called mikvah. Now, it was a Jewish purity ritual symbol, cleansing, regularly practiced by all observant Jews, which their full body immersion into Mahim Kahim, living waters. Now, notice, they couldn't be baptized in a cistern or a pond. It had to be living waters. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now, notice this, Mayim Kakim was regarded as naturally flowing water that had not been artificially drawn from a well or a cistern or manipulated through plumbing. So here now, they are going to have this mikvah, but it must come through living waters. Now, it cannot be a cistern. It cannot be pumped in there with some denominational pump or somebody standing on the outside and pumping it all in. We're going to baptize you into the body of Christ. It must come from living waters. It cannot come from a message preacher trying to dam up all the water and say, if you're going to get it, you better come here to us because we own it all. It's got to come through living waters. Glory. Into a natural fed pool or natural gathering of water, submerging oneself completely below the surface. The Hebrew word for such a gathering of water is Mu'in Mikvah, a natural pool of flowing water. And the immersion accomplished the washing away of uncleanness, and the symbolism is one of death and life. So here the fountains of the deep broke up, and the fountains above the firmament broke up, and they emptied over on the face of the earth. And the earth is getting her first mikvah. What's it a sign of? Rebirth. Glory to God, Ruach Elohim is doing a work. Oh, glory. I wish somebody had helped me preach tonight. Glory. Now notice, whenever God, the Ruach, brings this out of the earth and all the great seeds and all the wonderful things that transpires, and then time goes on, man becomes sinful, rebellion against the word of God. And God sends a message of repentance through a prophet by the name of Noah. And Noah begins to preach. God tells him to build a boat. Now we know his boat wasn't the only one that day. Brother Ben said they had all kinds of boats. Building a boat's not the main thing, but what you want is a boat that floats. Because if you ain't got a boat that floats, you might as well have a Jeep. If you ain't got a boat that floats, you might as well have a concrete block. But brother, what you want is a boat that floats. Amen. Now you imagine, what was it that Noah done different than the rest of them boat builders done? I don't know exactly, other than he had the word of God made manifest. Now watch, the Spirit of God begins to break up the fountains of the deep. And the firmament of the heaven, which held the expanse of the water above the earth, it was broke up.
Amen.
And the earth was submerged again in water.
Amen.
So Noah stays in there and he waits. And he waits and he waits. Noah sends out a raven. He doesn't come back. Because all them bodies floating around, rotting in and all that sort of thing, that was just his diet. Now watch, it shows to us that sin was still going to exist after the earth had its mikvah. Because that raven was released out of the ark itself. Some of the greatest damage, my friends, we have had to this message have been the ravens that have been turned loose out of this message itself. A lot of preachers that wasn't even called to preach in the first place, been in the pulpits and preaching all kinds of damnable things. They've done more damage. Oh, come on now, don't get quiet. But they come right out of the same ark. And no doubt they're supposed to be. But then Noah waits. And he takes a dove. And the way the Hebrew reads it in the book of Genesis, he takes her to his bosom. He holds her to his bosom. And she flies out of his bosom. Now watch her. She goes around flying, flying, flying. She sees carcasses. She sees all kinds of nonsense and all kinds of death and all that sort of thing. But the Bible says she found no place for the sole of her foot to rest. So what's she doing? Hovering. Glory to God. She's hovering over the earth, but she cannot find a place for her to be able to rest upon. So what does she do? She returns back to Father Noah. Noah waits, and he sends her out again. She hovers. She looks. This time, it's different. Ruach has dried up the earth. So she goes down and she lands on an olive tree. According to the book of Romans, the Jews were likened to an olive tree. Now watch this dispensation. How that God now on this new covenant of the earth shows us in type. He's going to choose one man out of the earth. He will make his covenant, glory to God, with that one man and with his seed, and they will be called the olive tree. So here comes this dove back into the ark, knocking on the door, Brother Branham said. And she had this olive branch in her mouth. So the dove of God found a place to land. No doubt there was all kinds of trees that were out there. But she was led to an olive tree. The olive tree is the tree that the Jews would take and beat their olives and use the oil to anoint the priests. They would also take that same oil to anoint their kings. So she identifies God's next choice. She comes back into the ark. Noah keeps her 7 more days. Turns her out again. And she doesn't return. Now the dove can go into all the earth. Watch this in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 19. Watch how Peter parallels the flood of the earth to water baptism to us. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now this is speaking of course of Jesus. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was a preparing wherein few, that is 8 souls were saved by water. Listen to this now. Saved by water. The like figure, or the type, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now this is where many of the apostolic, the oneness, even the Church of Christ, they try to take this scripture and prove by this scripture that it's actually water baptism that saves you. Of course, you know that's very, very carnal. Because if you go on down to read the rest of this, you'll find out baptism is only a sign of a new work that's going on. Notice he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here then, the baptism, our water baptism, corresponded to what took place on the flood. But now what preceded water baptism in the days of the antediluvian destruction? The preaching of a preacher. Baptism didn't come in front of Noah, but it came after Noah. So Noah preached and the earth repented under Noah's preaching. Not the people of the earth. And then the earth had to be baptized. Noah wasn't big enough to baptize the whole earth, so God baptized it. Glory to God. God put his hand over his nose as it was and baptized and went right down. And the earth come bobbling back up under the influence of Ruach Elohim. Lord Jesus. Notice this. When God now started his new creation upon the earth, Luke chapter 3 verse 21, when all the people were baptized, came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Glory to God. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. Here is the dove again, signifying God's choice. He don't go to Caiaphas. He don't go to the priesthood. He does not go to the Kohen. He does not go to the tabernacle. He does not go to Herod's temple. But he comes to the bridegroom. And the bridegroom, when he come up out of the water that day, the bridegroom had us inside of him. So before you was ever born, you was identified as the Spirit's choice. Lord, hallelujah. So notice, the dove had
waited for all these years.
Hallelujah.
Circling.
Once again, yes, sir.
Circling. Couldn't land on David that way.
Right.
Couldn't land on Moses. Too much of a temper.
Right.
Couldn't land on Jeremiah that way. Couldn't land on this one. Couldn't land on that one. But here it come. When the beginning of the creation of God come up out of the water. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! What was it? This is God's part of the earth. And the earth was getting its baptism. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Notice. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my son. In thee I am well pleased." So Jesus, before he ever preached one sermon, before he ever cast out devils, heals the sick, or anything, his introduction to public ministry is a mikvah. This ritual cleansing. It was more than that, though. Hold on now. He hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. So here he is. God is now beginning what? A new creation. And this is the first of the new race. A God-man. This ain't the only one. It's the first one. So before he gets the Holy Ghost, before he preaches, before he does any of this, he's immersed in water. Here comes Ruach. Elohim. Starting again on the new creation. Notice this in harvest time. Brother Ben says, Jesus, look, when he was baptized in water and made his preparation, he was sanctified to begin with by the Father. Then he raised up his hands. Here come the dove upon the lamb. What was God doing when he put the dove on the lamb, on there rather? He claimed that part of life. That was part of the earth. Jesus eat food like we have, the natural bread. But now God claims it. Oh my. Oh glory to God. When he sent the dove out of the ark that day. Amen. And he began to claim what? An olive tree. Out of this olive tree I'll bring forth my chosen one now. It's not a tree. It's a branch. Oh, glory to God. The man whose name is the branch. Now it's not an olive. It's not a green branch. The branch is a human. The tree of life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You imagine, friend, in that first moving of the Spirit of God as he hovers over the earth, and those seeds must bring forth all the life. In the days of Noah, the same thing had to happen again because he was in there. The whole process took over a year's time. Nearly every living thing on the earth would have died. No trees, unless it just be submersible type trees. No plants, no animals, hardly nothing could live. Yet he did not have to create them again. Why? The seeds were there. Remember my thought. I must quicken my seeds. So here is all the seed now, an eternal life in a human body. Notice, future home, Brother Ben said, when he went up out of the water, he said, I saw heavens open. The prophet saw it. He saw the heavens open, and here he came, descending out of heaven, a form of a dove and a voice saying, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. So here comes Jesus now, the second Adam. Yeah, you could have looked at him. I could have looked at him. The devil looked at him. The apostles could have looked at him. And that only saw a man. You see, up to Calvary, the bride was hitting the groom.
But after Pentecost, the groom was hitting the bride.
Glory to God! Hallelujah! They just trade places! She was masked inside of him, now he's masked inside of her! Glory to God! It's the actors on the stage, do you see it? It changes from him to her! Notice God never had a permanent flesh body. To this, now God claims this and says, this is my part of the earth. I will rest on him forever. He is my word made manifest in the whole world. I've spoken into existence by my word. And Satan has held it all this time. And I've come to redeem it. So what's he do? This part of the earth has a mikvah. So when he comes up out of the earth, yes, Ruach Elohim. Glory to God. In such a visible form that John the Baptist is standing there. Oh, my Lord. My Lord. Can you imagine to a Jew knowing their heritage about the doves and the sacrifices and knowing all that? What that must have meant to that prophet. And he not only sees that dove sitting on him, but going at him. She found a place to rest. This time it was not the sole of the foot of a bird, but the soul of God. Notice this, Brother Branham says, what happened? The dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. What did he come to do to redeem that part of the earth? He was the beginning of the creation of God. Do you understand? This is why the earth needs no more water baptism. Once he was baptized, it was good for the whole thing. What she'll get next time is her fiery baptism. Ruach Elohim took this part of the earth and waved it for the whole earth. Notice this, he was the beginning of the creation of God because God is not creation only in Christ. He's creation because God is eternal and a spirit. And a spirit is not created. He was the beginning of the creation of God and God redeemed that body. So when he come down, this is my beloved son. I am well pleased in him. So the dove lands on the branch, the root and the offspring of David. The tree of life. Hallelujah. You love him. Think. Now notice when this new creation continues, and we'll pick it up in the morning, and the Holy Ghost falls on the day of Pentecost, and those people outside that have not been led up to this stage, and they ask the men and brethren, what must we do? What's Dr. Simon Peter sent up and write him a prescription? Right. Repent. Right. And have a mikvah. Right. If you're going to be a part of this new creation, you got to come the same way. Right. Right. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What are they doing? Preaching the same work of creation.
Do you understand? In the chaos of Laodicea, in the darkness of our lives, is sin. The same Father is hovering over our lives. All the bad genes that we received humanly, all the makeup and all the bad things that we receive from those behind us, all the sin that's accumulated for 6,000 years of man's existence on the earth, and in the midst of all that, He's hovering again. When Jesus was baptized and received the Holy Ghost, did it bring immediate peace upon the earth? Was the Romans destroyed? The Greeks destroyed? No. The peace landed in an individual. But the earth was fixing to take the awfulest turn for the worst that it had ever taken. Their city's going to be destroyed. Their people's going to be mutilated. 70 AD when Titus comes through and the blood rolls out the streets. They eat one another's children. They boil the bark off the trees. They eat rats. They eat everything they can eat. So did this coming landing on him, did it usher in the millennium? By no means. When it lands on you, will it mean all the world? I hear, no. It's not working out there. It's landing on where she rests. What we want to do, friends, is be a branch, a tree as it were, to where that dove can go back to Father's door and say, Father, here's another believer. Another one. Another one. Another one. For those of you that was at Sister Ruth Dean's funeral service last night, the Lord put that on my heart from Proverbs about a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. She seeth the field and she buyeth it. She worketh the flax and the fine linen. She takes her hands to the distaff and the wool and all that. As I begin to talk to people and hear other people talking before her service, and I realized that Sister Ruth Dean was such an outstanding person in her family. And, you know, probably to many people, there'll only be one in a family that way. Only God knows that for sure. But I begin to think how blessed we are to not have one like that, but another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and another. Do you understand what it is? It ain't me. It ain't my preaching. It's not Brother Branham as a man. It wasn't Paul as a man. It's that wave sheaf of the Word. If we could produce one woman that was a genuine Christian, one son of God that was a genuine Christian, out of hundreds of people, that's a pretty good ratio. But what if we've got hundreds of us gathered here together? Lamps that are burning, lights, salt that's salting the earth. We are a blessed people. Do you realize many families will come generation after generation after generation that'll never have a child of God like that in their family? It'll be one generation after another, the bank robbers and liars and drunks and whoremongers and everything else. Oh my. But think, we get to rub shoulders with them kind of folks. We get to go to the house of God with them kind of folks. Oh, everybody that comes here ain't that kind of person, but I ain't focusing on them old dirtbags, no way. I'm focusing on you elect. I ain't got my eyes on them that ain't gonna go on with God. I've got my eyes on that elect. That's who I'm preaching to. Glory! Praise the Lord! If you can understand it, Ruach Elohim is brooding again. It's a process. It may take you years and years. You lay aside this, lay aside that. A little calcium, a little potash, a little petroleum will make a lily. And you'll burst out of the ground and say, glory to God, I got saved. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Boy, in them first 6 months or whatever, you'll bloom and blossom like no telling what. And then you'll hit that stage like the rest of us do, to where you're looking around for new flowers. But don't worry, I will quicken my seeds. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, for your word. I pray you'd be able to take these simple things, Lord God, and make them real to our hearts. No doubt we have folks here tonight and folks that'll stream the service and those that'll hear it, different stages of their walk. Some that are not serving you, some that are out of fellowship. Some, Lord, maybe the first little had just come up a few weeks ago or 6 months ago, and they're still in that state of the fresh breath of spring. We all love it after the winters, and we see that bright green that comes upon the earth in April and May. Then the green, as the summer goes on, it begins to change. It goes from that bright green to a deeper type of summer green, I call it. It's changing. It's another cycle. Lord, I pray that you'd help these believers, some of them, Father. Oh, they've brought forth their first lily. They've brought forth the azaleas and the different things as you brooded over the life. Now they're going through great testing times, great trials of their faith. Others talk about flowers. Flowers don't excite them because they're in dark, dark valleys. Deep tests, deep trials. But may they feel those same wings. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that the scripture in Deuteronomy, it's dealing with a certain age of those eagles. That mother eagle, when she hatches out those eggs and they stay in that nest for however long necessary, she does not stir up her nest and flutter over her young once they become mature, because they are no longer in the nest. They're out of that nest. And they're out flying around looking for things to eat themselves. They're mature. I don't know how eagles think, if they have a memory. If they could go back and remember how it was when they first got saved. And remember how it was when they was first in the nest and they sat there so dependent on mama. They couldn't fly. They couldn't go nowhere. But nothing wasn't required of them either. They just sat there day in and day out, day in and day out, and waited for mama to bring food. We as Christians, we have to be honest, and we say, sometimes we miss those early days. When it wasn't really dependent on us, it was more you. You carried us. You flew us around. You fed us. You killed. You done everything. You killed rabbits and lined the nest. Then one day you come in the nest and started pulling that fur out. And it started sticking us and gouging us in her side. And we wondered, what in the world's going on? Don't he love us no more? Oh, yes. You loved us. But the sticking and the gouging and the poking, it meant we was growing. Help us to understand, Lord God, if we stay in that nest forever, it's a sign there's something wrong with us. We've got to leave it. And when we do, we may miss that feeling that we had, oh my, when everything was so cheery and so great. Hardly no battles, no trials, no tests, but we were young. God, help us to grow up. It's scary growing up, Lord. Them poor little eagles, I imagine when they climb out of there the first time, she goes to putting them up on her wings and they lock on to one of her feathers and she takes off with them. It must be so frightening as it is for us. But they've got to grow. Help us tonight, Lord. With every head bowed, I want to ask you tonight, wherever you are, little eagle, maybe you just got out of the egg. It's a whole new world to you. Maybe you've been hatched out for a while, but you're still in that protective age to where that you're really not doing a whole lot of fighting on your own. And God's protecting you and watching you. And you're hearing people talk about great trials and tests. And you think, man, I don't understand what you're talking about. Boy, it's just so wonderful. Oh, it's just so great. Well, you enjoy it while you can. Because rabbit fur is coming out on your side too, sooner or later. Or maybe you're one who's been out of the nest for a long time, many years. Maybe you're an eagle that's grown to that spot to where you need to renew your youth. Been around the message for many years. Maybe it's kind of got old to you, common to you. Maybe you need to climb up on the rock and go to beating your beak on the rock. Do you get that old shell off and the blood goes to flying around and you renew your youth? Wherever you are, would you just raise your hand to Ruach Elohim? If the Lord Jesus standing down there in the River Jordan that day, Brother Bram said he was sanctified by the Father, and Jesus raised his hands and the Spirit come. Why is it we wouldn't want to raise ours in service? If Jesus raised his, why would not we want to raise ours? There must have been a significance to him raising his hands. For the Holy Ghost came. He raised his hands. Whether you're a baby, a newborn, or an old one that's been in the nest for years and years, let him minister to you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you tonight, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your great, great plan, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for brooding over this earth. Lord, as I read and hear about global warming and the scientists so afraid that by the year 2040 and 2050, all the ice is going to be gone and the earth will be warmed up so many degrees and the earth will destroy itself and this and that and the other. And I just can't keep from feeling sorry for them, Lord. They don't realize this earth is one of your attributes. She will never be annihilated. Hallelujah. She will only pass from one form to another. I'm so glad we have that hope, Lord God. She's done been baptized. She's on her way to full redemption. The blood dripped down on her at the cross. She's already been claimed. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, minister to your saints. Lord, you know, Father, there's some real needs in our church. Real needs, Lord God. Of those who've contacted the library that, Lord, don't come here. They may go to another assembly, or those who consider this their church, Lord, though they stream up in Alaska and they stream in Canada and they stream all over the world, Lord. Many of them have no place to go to church, no local assembly. So they pray with us. They sing with us. They even sit in their home and take communion with us and wash feet when we do it. Lord, they'd love to be sitting here in your presence, but you're just as real right there, oh God. May you move for them, Lord. You're not limited to one place and one location, rather one place where you can move. Lord God, I pray, minister to your bride around the world. Black, white, red, yellow, whatever they are, Father, minister to your children. Brood over us, Lord God. May the calcium, the potash, the petroleum, the cosmic light, may it come together out of my being, Lord, that I can fulfill your purpose. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we just raise our hands now? Just worship him a little before we go. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Friend, do you understand what that's something inside of you? When you feel to encourage a brother or sister, you know what that is? That Spirit of God that's anointing you to do that. It's that attribute from your Father. It's that something that wants to gather them and they're like a hen would gather a brood and try to minister to the sick and pray for those that are weary. It's that attribute of the Father God. Folks that want to pull off by themselves and be an idol and never have no contact with people and never have a need of the body. There's something wrong with that perception. It does not come out of Elohim. It cannot be. Think we are not just people here tonight that was given something that was not ours, that does not belong to us. But before there was ever a world, we were in him, in those attributes of bride. And when Jesus, Brother Bam says, when he died there on the cross, somehow God made me pay for my sins in that body. I died with him and I raised with him on Easter. But he said, the Son is just now on us. Praise God. Praise God. Spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. Praise God. How many loves Papa tonight? Amen. You love Papa? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, he no longer has all that bottled up in himself. But now Mama's here. Glory. I said, Mama's here. She is on the earth. She is him. You ever wonder why Satan through the church ages has moved through a she? Then in the last day, Brother Brennan said it'll turn from she to him. You understand there's mercy for people to come out of the denominations while it's in she? But he said once it goes into him, it's too late. You see where he gets that type? He gets it from God because he sees God is here in she form, the church. And once it moves into he, then it's too late for anybody to be saved. The denominations, if they come out while it's still yet in she form before it goes into him, Satan, then they can find mercy. Once it goes into him, it's too late. But once the bride moves, reverts back into him again, there's no more mercy. No more people can be saved. No more grace for the Gentiles. Amen. While it's yet she, and she's reaching out her arms. Don't you remember, friends, when Brother Ben said when Jesus stood there? In Revelation, and John saw him girt about the paps with the golden girdle on. He said it was a woman. I know it's just our minds are just... How much more can we take, Brother Bunny? I hope not much more. I'm hoping we're reaching our limit. Glory, I hope we're not going to blow a fuse. I hope we're going to blow out of here. She is him. Say hey before I preach.
So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly.
Listen now, little eagle.
You weren't born.
You weren't born for that valley and that chicken corn.
To soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get you down. Drive your spirits to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly. Your spirits to the ground, mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So spread your wings, little eagles, and fly. You weren't born for the valley. You to soar in the sky. Don't let your trials get you down. Drive your spirits to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagles, and fly.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just take our feathers and give him a wave offering. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to read you something before we go. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 91, Brother Rob.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I've always loved this psalm. I really do love it after this tonight. Psalms 91. Many years ago, Carol and I lived in West Virginia. Lived up in a holler. We were so far back in the holler, the sun never hit that house. That's no exaggeration. The mountains were so straight up and were so far back, the sun never hit the porch. There's an old abandoned coal mine right in front of our porch where people, men had crawled in a hole and dug out coal. One night a demon attacked me. And I don't know exactly what it was and never did figure out, but my body, I was hurting, I was sick, I was going through so many different things. And I got plumbed down in the bed. And Carol was praying for me. Alicia was small. I don't remember if Erica was even born or not. But I told Carol, she had prayed and prayed and prayed. We was both praying together, and I told her, I said, get your Bible and read to me Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. About the time she got to this spot, the Spirit of God hit me and raised me up out of that. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, notice, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Glory to God. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made Adonai, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. What are we talking about? Papa. So he comes up and squall. And he stands there before us. And we look up at him and say, I want to be just like that. Glory to God. Don't you understand what that mother had to do? That little fellow down in the barnyard. She had to change his thinking. Brother Branham said, he said to her, Mama, what can I do? She said, jump, honey. Just jump. He said, but Mama, I ain't never jumped in my life. She said, but you're an eagle. Brother Branham said he didn't know what an eagle was, and yet he was one. Sound like me. I didn't even know what a seed was, yet I was one. So she had to change his thinking. Brother Branham said he saw something in the sky that he reflected. Amen. He saw something in her. Do you understand? In order for you to be a part of that bride, you've got to see yourself in Him. And it will give you strength to flatter. Oh, glory. Glory to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh, children, don't you appreciate His grace? And the church said, Amen. Oh, amen. 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 Do you believe what you've heard tonight? Are you part of that finish from Elohim? You are the wife of Him, the bone of Him, the flesh of Him. You are Him. Hallelujah. He's created. Well, the dove is
for a place to land tonight. Her class is far above her knees. Amen. She's a royal treasure. She's a bride. Oh.